Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. Our senior NBA writer, Zach Lowe, is here. NBA champ Kendrick Perkins is going to be alongside soon. Chinne Ogumike is going to be alongside soon. Also coming up, will Miami find similar success outside of the bubble as they did inside? We will discuss that shortly during our Heat Team Preview segment. But first, so general consensus in the NBA these days is that winning is an incredibly complex puzzle, the result of hundreds of factors coming together. How good is your team at working the salary cap to optimize that ninth slot on the roster? Is the travel schedule set up to improve player sleep patterns? What's the philosophy of the team's shooting coach? And look, those details are important. The good teams are typically the ones that execute those things well. But to be a great team, the truth is much simpler and much more harsh. The teams that have the best players tend to win. That's it. This is a league built on stars, and there aren't that many of them to go around. And if you miss out, you're not going to be the one who ends the season holding the trophy. That's why Kawhi Leonard had helicopters following him around as he made his free agency visits. That's why the Lakers were willing to risk tampering fines to court Anthony Davis. And that's why there was 2 years of league-wide hand-wringing over whether Giannis Antetokounmpo was going to sign the Supermax in Milwaukee. It's also why, now, in the wake of Giannis' announcement that he is indeed re-upping with the Bucks, that the attention of the entire NBA is now shifting back to Houston and disgruntled superstar James Harden. You can have an opinion on whether you like Harden's style of play or not, or whether his approach to being a teammate corrodes locker rooms, and those are not small things. But when it comes to actual straight skills, there's no argument. James Harden is a basketball badass, period. He is one of the most prolific scorers in the 74-year history of the NBA. He has finished top five in MVP voting 6 of the last 7 years. If you are a team in need of a superstar, James Harden fits the bill in a way that few other humans on Earth can. It is why, as soon as Giannis's pen hit paper in Milwaukee, the price of acquiring James Harden from Houston went right up. And it's also why, despite all that Harden has done in the past few weeks to act out, the Rockets are still tiptoeing around, hoping Harden will change his mind and want to stay. The thought has been that maybe if James actually got out there with John Wall and Boogie Cousins, he'd start having fun. And last night, they at least got their first taste of what that looked like. Sort of. It was his first preseason game, and Harden looked like a player who, well, hadn't really been through training camp, scoring 12 points on 3 of 10 shooting. And while he was not actually as out of shape as an unflattering screenshot circulating Twitter made him appear, more than once cameras did catch him catching his breath with his hands on his hips. Still, there were a few flashes of what might be. Late in the first quarter, we saw a sequence where Harden hit a trademark step back 3. Boom! He drew a foul on another. Then he found P.J. Tucker in the corner with a nice pass that led to a bucket. So did any of that feel encouraging to James Harden? We still don't really know. Less than an hour ago, James made his first public comments in months. Take a listen.
Do you still want the Rockets to trade you? And if so, why?
Right now, I'm just focused on being here. Today was good. Yesterday felt really good being out there. The first time in, since the bubble. Haven't really had an opportunity to do a lot of 5-on-5 work.
James, what was the point that you were trying to get across when you went to Atlanta and Vegas when training camp was starting?
I was just training.
What were you training for?
The start of the NBA season.
How did going to Atlanta and Vegas help you there when the Rockets were starting training camp in Houston?
My personal trainers.
James, you obviously had a close relationship with Daryl for all those years, and I think you had a lot of trust in him. Do you have that same trust in Rafael Stone that he can put pieces around you?
We haven't had a conversation, so.
Haven't had a conversation. Front office, despite that, still hopeful that the more James plays with this group, the more he likes it, or at least the more his trade value will go up, and they can get another legit star in return. After all, winning in the NBA is indeed a puzzle, but no matter how well you put everything together around the edges, you can't complete it if you don't have that piece in the center. So, Zach, what is your biggest takeaway from the first preseason game last night and then listening to Harden just now?
You saw the press conference. He does not exactly look excited to be back to Houston. And other than that, he's dodging questions like Neo dodging bullets in the Matrix. It seems that the toothpaste is out of the tube. But, you know, again, Houston has time on its side. He has 2 years left, plus a player option. And it's a big player option in the third year. They don't have to rush. They haven't rushed. I think they've played this right. James is with the team. He's a proud guy. You just mentioned it. Top five in MVP, six of the last 7 years. It's not like he's going to go out there and not compete. Might not be happy. He might pout a little bit. They have time. But, look, we've seen this situation before, and rarely does it turn the other way where they start winning enough and his dreams of going to Brooklyn or Philly or wherever go away. So it seems like delaying the inevitable to me.
Yeah, well, kudos, by the way, when listening to that press conference to our colleague Tim McMahon, because just the inflection on training for what was phenomenal. Shout out Tim. But it is interesting, how much do you think he is going to sort of blend with his teammates? Because we know on the court, you and I both said it, right? James Harden's going to be James Harden. He is going to try. But how much do you think in the locker room, on the team plane, that kind of thing, do you expect him to try to develop some chemistry with guys like John Wall and Boogie Cousins?
I mean, I think off the court is one thing. I think James is generally seems pleasant to be around off the court. I don't think he's been a huge problem in that regard. On the court, I mean, let's face it. He hasn't blended with teammates in 5 years. He plays James ball, right, not basketball. And as long as he's – and by the way, it's been massively effective. They almost won the championship. They almost got to the finals playing that way. He's one of the greatest offensive players in the history of the league. Play James ball all you want. But in Houston, he's going to continue to play that way. As long as he's there, it's his franchise, it's his team. They've catered everything to him up until now. He's going to play that way. That's the most interesting question. Let's say he goes to Philly. He's got Joel Embiid on his team. Joel Embiid, he's the incumbent guy in Philadelphia. He doesn't want to play James ball. Say he goes to Brooklyn. Kevin Durant, yeah, Kevin hasn't played a real game for Brooklyn yet. Kyrie Irving has. They didn't sign up to play James ball. Say he goes to Miami. Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, they have this offense where shooters are running around doing crazy stuff, a lot of dribble handoffs. They don't want to play James ball, and that's going to be the interesting question is how willing is he to adapt if and when he gets to another team?
Well, he is, though, one of the most valuable pieces on the board, right? And now that Giannis is off that board for 2021 free agency, you got to look. I know it's way too early, but let's look at your expectations for next offseason because, I don't know, would you want James Harden over most all of these guys? What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, Kawhi, very likely to stay with the Clippers, I think, unless something goes haywire there. Gobert is an interesting name sitting there right now because I think for all the focus on what's next summer is going to be like and what a bummer it is that some of the biggest names have already been taken off the market, I think it makes extension season really interesting. If I were a team and I had John Collins or one of these rookie guys that's up for an extension or Rudy Gobert who's up for a veteran extension, I might feel a little pressure right now to try to lock those guys up before they get to that market in the summer where there's going to be way more teams with cap space than there are players worthy of it. So I wonder if we're going to see a push. I mean, even guys like Josh Richardson in Dallas, Norm Powell in Toronto, Drew Holiday eventually when it's allowed in Milwaukee, if their teams feel pressure now to lock them up before they get into this feeding frenzy in the summer.
And look, the Gobert question to me is huge, right? Because if I'm, say, the Nets, and I look at the strengths and weaknesses of my particular roster, I actually would rather have Rudy Gobert join that team with KD and Kyrie than James Harden, another guy who needs the ball in his hands.
Ooh.
Do you not feel that way?
Spicy. That's a spicy take, Rachel Nichols.
Do you not?
I would still rather have James Harden.
Yeah?
I would rather have James Harden. Just the sheer offensive power, a third creator. And, like, look, if it goes haywire, I can trade Kyrie Irving for a bunch of draft picks down the line if there's not enough ball handling jobs for all three guys.
Can you, though?
He's a really, really good player.
Will Kevin Durant let you do that? That's part of the equation with all of this.
Of course, it's part of the equation, but things change all the time. Things change every day in the NBA.
Sure.
You get James Harden in the door, your situation changes, your flexibility changes. I like Jared Allen a lot. DJ, I think, had an underrated second half of the season for them next year. I get what you're saying. He stabilizes your defense. I just think there's nothing more valuable in the NBA than as many guys as you can get that can create efficient shots for themselves and their teammates.
So what is the latest with Gobert and the Jazz? Because they are in such an interesting position where they obviously want to give him a good contract. They want him to stay with the team. He's eligible for a supermax, though, correct? And he obviously, they cannot commit 35% of the cap to him. That would not be a good move for them.
I don't think they're going to do that. I agree with you. I think that would be unwise, although Rudy's a great player, a legitimate All-NBA player. My assumption all along has been it's been very quiet. Utah keeps things back. I mean, heck, they sold the team and it didn't get out. They keep things very quiet there. But my assumption all along has been the two sides will come to some sort of compromise between his number now and the Supermax. And, yeah, that's a big deal. That's a big pill to swallow for Utah, but they're clearly in win-now mode. You know, some people looked at, they signed Derek Favors, they drafted a center. Are they trying to sort of hedge against Gobert asking for too much money, not being able to come to a deal? I think there might be a little something to that, but I still think they'll come to an agreement.
All right, Zach, now that we've finished our NBA nerd talk on contracts and supermaxes and roster construction, I do want to bring Kendrick Perkins back in. Perk, welcome. Glad that your TV camera worked. Hey, this is the thing of broadcasting from home, guys. We're all working on it as we go here. Perk, I just wanted to get your take on James Harden, how he played last night, how you saw him fitting in, and then he did speak less than an hour ago, and not exactly illuminating. He said that, hey, he liked being out there on the floor, hadn't played 5-on-5 in a while, but did not get into his trade request, did not get into his sojourns to Atlanta, to Las Vegas, and basically just... there's a little bit of, I'm just here not to get fined.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of what's going on right now in Houston, James Harden has to take a lot of blame for it, for his unprofessionalism, Rachel. And now he's stuck like Chuck. And I'm not saying for the long haul, but I strongly believe that the Rockets are not going to trade him anytime soon for the simple fact of how he conducted himself before camp and how he came in into training camp. And if you seen him last night, I thought that was me on the court. I thought I came out of retirement. So with that being said, Houston cannot jump the gun right now and try to trade James Harden because they don't have the leverage and they're not going to get back what they want from. Here it is. I'm going to give you a little insight. You and Zach right now. I'm going to do a little poaching. I've talked to a lot of GMs, well, about two or three. I'm not that large. And a lot of them have questions about if they bring James Harden in, is he a winner? Is he going to be toxic to the locker room? Is he going to be committed? What type of effect is he going to have on the younger guys? And right now, a lot of general managers are turned off just because of how James Harden is acting and from what they've been hearing about him for as how he's handled certain situations when in the past years as a Rocket.
How much of that are you hearing, Zach, among front offices?
Look, it's the on-court fit stuff that I talked about earlier. You know, if you have stars that are used to playing one way, are they willing to adapt? But there are definitely teams. Look, James is 31. He plays a ton of minutes. He's played a ton of minutes. He's up for a max contract in 2 years that could take him into his late 30s. There are definitely teams that are concerned about how he will age given what we've seen of his lifestyle. Let's say, and Tim McMahon wrote a lot about it today. I'm not sure how big of a deal that really is, but the concern is out there among teams. That's the point I'm trying to make. And yeah, if you're a team that's already really good and you feel good about yourself, I do think how this has unfolded with the stuff in Atlanta and Vegas and the partying, I do think Perk is right that there are teams that are looking and say, you know what, we have the assets in theory, we might be interested, but that next contract scares me a little bit.
I get it, but it does in some ways come back to what I said at the top of the show. There's only so many of these guys. There's only so many elite, elite players in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And you pretty much can't win without at least one and maybe even two of them. So it is a question, and it's the reason all eyes will continue to be on Houston for the long term and the short term, it looks like. All right, we got Perk. We're going to get Chinee up in a little bit. Coming up, we're going to talk about Steph dropping 29 points last night in his second preseason appearance. Is he already in midseason form? We'll discuss that.
It's a make or miss league, and that's coming from the limousine riding, jet flying, Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, wheeler dealing, son of a gun, Ric Flair,
Woo! I'm still not over it. I had so much fun yesterday. Miss Rust, Steph Curry, looking like he's already in midseason form last night. When isn't he? He had 29 points in 28 minutes. Zach, I'm never surprised that Steph doesn't show rust, but are you surprised he was able to move and get to his spots as easily as he did?
Hell no. Steph Curry is Steph Curry. He trains hard. He trains yes. all his crazy dribble moves. He has all the, he's got the strobe lights, the tennis balls. He's going to come out on fire.
Look, Rachel, I'm right there with you and Zach. He's in mid-season form. When you have a guy that's a gym rat like Steph Curry that had to be away for a year from the game, he came back and he's on the mission. He got the new hairdo with the braids and the fade. He's already green-eyed. I call him the green-eyed assassin, light-skinned from the Bay Area, and he's ready to put on the show.
Make royalty. Check out Dwayne Sutton catch a body on this Ooh. Dunk. Right? This is a fun game to watch Ooh. All the way through. And later in that same game, if you have the internet, you have seen it, Kyle Guy making that game-winning three. Kirk, which was the better highlight, though? Game winner or the dunk?
Look, since I got dunked on so much in my career, Rachel, I'm not going to go with the dunk. I'm going to go with the game-winning Kyle Guy. He's one of my favorite players, and now he's going to be my favorite player on the Sacramento Kings.
Nice.
It's always the buzzer beater, always. And the up and under, the old school up and under, that's my move. That's the only move I got. And he did it from 3-point range. I love it.
I'm going to need video of this. Just saying, this is a new wrinkle of the jump. Miss Scissors, check out DeMar DeRozan's new hairstyle. Perk, all right, you liked Steph. What about DeRozan?
I like it. But, Rachel, we have to understand that he's from Compton, California. You know, they like to mix it up every now and then. But I like it. It kind of takes me back to the Dr. J days, and he's on a new mission, the headband. I feel like he could have picked it out a little bit, though.
Have you ever rocked the Afro, Perk?
Nah, Rachel, I'm growing a couple bald spots right here, so it's never going to happen.
Zach, I'm not going to ask you that question. Don't worry. You're good.
I love it. I love it. It's got an, like Perk said, it's got a little ABA to it. The Spurs are an ABA team tomorrow. Have fun. I like it.
There you go. All right, guys, we are just 6 days away from the start of the season, and you know what that means. The jumps previously on segments are back. This is like when your favorite TV show returns from hiatus. We're going to catch up on everything that happened since the last time you saw them. So now it is time for Previously On the Miami Heat. So how far can the Miami Heat go down here?
We can win this.
You think you can win the whole thing?
Yes. Yes.
You know you're not favored to.
I don't care. Speaking for myself, I don't give a damn what anybody says.
He's just instilling confidence in these players, and these players are giving him even more of a confidence.
A number five going to the conference finals. People were expecting to have strange things happen, and this is pretty strange.
They like being in the bubble.
Working against Butler, got downhill, couldn't punch it. Bam says, get it out of here.
My finger, two of my fingers actually went numb.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because, I mean, when it was just like a big clap, and two of my fingers went numb.
It's one of the top five blocks that I've ever seen.
Here, a long three-pointer. Bang! Tyler Herro from way downtown.
So you know what the internet did with that snarl, right?
Yeah. I've seen a whole bunch of stuff.
Jimmy Butler, simply amazing yesterday. He joined Jerry West and LeBron as the only players to have a 40-point triple-double in an NBA Finals game.
Everybody remembers winning. That's it. I don't care how many points you score. All I care if you win or loss. We're going to learn from this. We're going to get better. We're going to come back. We'll be back.
What a run. Let's kick things off with the cliffhanger from last season. Zach, will the Heat be as successful outside of the bubble as they were inside of the bubble?
Will they make the finals?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think they will be just as good of a team. I believe in the Heat. The bubble was not a fluke. Look, is Goran Dragic going to play out of his mind all season? I don't know. They might miss Jay Crowder, but Mo Harkless will help. Avery Bradley is going to be a little sneaky important piece for their team. Tyler Herro will get better. Bam will get better. I believe in the Heat. I think the Heat are going to be right back in the mix to win the East. I don't think they're just sort of a run-of-the-mill 4-5-6 seed. I think they're really, really good, and they're going to be right back in it. They fear nobody.
Well, Rachel and Zach, y'all know how I feel about them goons from Dade County, and I was rocking with them last season.
Yep.
But the fact of the matter is that the East have gotten better with KD and Kyrie coming back, with Milwaukee adding Drew Holiday, and then you throw in the Wizards, okay? Do not sleep on the Washington Wizards, please. I like the makeup of their ball club. And you look at Philly, it's going to be hard for Miami to get back to the finals, but I do see them going to the second round.
Perk, the people of my native D.C. area thank you, because do not sleep on the Washington Wizards is just not a sentence we hear very often ever in the NBA. The plot twist for the Heat, let's get to that. Signing Bam to an extension worth at least $163 million. Mm. They had the option of trying to kick the can down the road for a year, would have left them a little bit more flexibility next offseason, but instead they showed Bam how important to them he is. But does the deal put added pressure on Bam, Kendrick?
No, not at all. Bam is a guy that you can't teach what he already has. He has a unique skill set on the offensive end. He's everything that you want in a big man in today's game. He's a lob threat at the rim. He's a hell of a passer. He's able to set great screens. He also has a nice 15-foot jump shot around the mid-range. And on the defensive end, Bam is a guy that could possibly be in the defensive player of the year conversation, the way that he's able to switch 1-5 pick and rolls, protect the basket. So with Bam, he doesn't have to do anything more than he's been doing.
Perk nailed it. Bam didn't get this contract by chasing points. Mm-hmm. He didn't get it by chasing numbers. He didn't get it by caring about his stats or all the things we think about when we wonder, is the guy going to be worried about living up to his contract? Bam got this contract by playing to win, period, by trying to help his team win. All he has to do is play the exact same way he's always played, and I agree with Perk. I think we're going to see more of his jumper because I think that's coming. I think it's going to be a good weapon for them late in possessions. But Bam, he's the last guy you're going to have to worry about playing up to the contract, caring about his numbers. He just wants to
Zach,
win.
Zach, long as he's shooting a jumper like you be doing in L.A. Fitness, he'll be just fine.
Zach told us in the last segment he's got to move, so I'm just waiting to see it on camera. Here are the games that Heat fans will need to binge watch this season. In the first half, we are all pumped for their Christmas Day showdown with Zion and the Pelicans. Then they start their Eastern Conference gauntlet with the Bucks, Celtics, and Nets, all within a 30-day span. So, Zach, which East team do you think poses the toughest matchup for the Heat?
I think Boston got a little bit worse with Hayward leaving and Kemba injured. Toronto got a little bit worse. So to Kirk's point, I think Milwaukee, they flamed out in the playoffs last year and they lost in the conference finals the year before. Got closer to winning that series than people remember. But with Drew Holiday, I still think you got to give the Bucks some benefit of the doubt. And if KD's ready and Kyrie's ready, I think the Nets have a chance to be really, really good and be in this conversation to win the East, too. So those would be my two teams that if I'm Miami, I'm zeroing in on everybody. Philly's going to be good. Indiana's nothing to sleep on. I might take a nap on the Wizards. I don't know if the Wizards belong in this conversation, but I'm looking at the Bucks and the Nets.
No, I'm right there with you, Zach. And look, you can talk about the Bucks and the Nets, and rightfully so. Like I said, don't leave out the Wizards. Don't leave out the Celtics. Don't leave out the Raptors. But here's the thing with the Miami Heat. Last year, they were hunting. This year, they're going to be the hunted. Teams are going to come in, and when it's time to play them, they're going to be getting that night of sleep because they know that they have a tough task. So every game for the Heat is going to be battle-tested. They're going to have to strap their boots up because teams are going to be coming for them, especially the Milwaukee Bucks, because they want their revenge.
Perk, I used to live in South Florida. I don't know what the current day-to-day restriction levels are on where Florida is in terms of letting people into bars and clubs. I'm telling you now, though, that Miami's Miami. And when those restrictions are lifted, nobody's getting their 8 hours of rest before they play the Heat. I get what you're saying, but I've seen it for too long. Finally, it's spoiler alert time. Caesars William Hill gives Miami the fourth best odds of winning. So, Perk, what are your predictions for the Heat this season? Where are you? We've been talking about the East in general. That's what these odds are. But in general, where's your prediction for where the Heat are going to end up?
Oh, it's hard to say because I got so much love for the Goons, but I don't see the Miami Heat getting past the second round, Rachel. I'm sorry.
And by the way, the Heat could be just as good a team as they were last year and not get past the second round. The playoffs are hard. There are injuries. The East is really good. I would put the Heat above Boston on that odds list. I think those odds are shortchanging the Heat a little bit, given Kemba Walker's injury concerns. But Nets, Bucks, Heat, I think they're right in the mix. Would not surprise me if they were in the finals again. I don't think I'll pick them, but it wouldn't surprise me.
And this is why I'm so excited. The NBA is starting back up again next week. We get to see it all play out. All right, guys, here's what The Jump recommends for today. A very good NBA writer. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. His name is Zach Lowe. I think he's really going to be something in this business. He gave us his five most intriguing players for this season. Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr., Marvin Bagley III, Zach Collins, and Kevin Durant. So take a guess on which of those players we're talking about after the break. Go read the piece and then stick with us. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, still here with Kendrick Perkins, Zach Lowe, and look who's joined us. Welcoming in former number one overall WNBA draft pick, Jhené Egbuike. Now, before we get started, I know we already covered James Harden and how he looked last night, but I wanted to get your take, Ms. Houston. What did you think about him out on the floor?
Honestly, that was a warm-up James Harden performance. I'm not surprised. I mean, it's a normal stat line, 21 minutes or so, 3 for 10 from the field, still getting you double digits. So he went out there and did what he normally does, but I don't even care what he did on the floor. It's off the floor. He deflected from all of the disastrous situation that's happening to my Rockets and basically saying, when I'm out here, I'm going to play. And I actually was more happy to hear that he's unproblematic when he shows up than what we've been seeing behind the scenes.
Okay, that's you need him to play basketball in the end. That is the job. All right, before the last break, we recommended Zach's column on his five most interesting players entering the season. Zach, you included Kevin Durant in there. What do you think are realistic expectations for him coming off an 18-month absence with an Achilles, which, as Jhené knows, is one of the trickiest injuries for a basketball player?
Yeah, we saw Breonna Stewart come back strong from it. Historically, it has dinged your performance a little bit, but look, Kevin Durant is 7 feet tall. He's one of the greatest shooters of all time. That right there alone makes you think he should be able to be 80, 85% of his old self. Throw in the fact that he looked way better than that in his preseason opener, and he looked fast, explosive, confident, athletic. I think it's realistic to think 90% of his old self, maybe better as the season goes on. And that's an all-NBA player. I mean, that's how good Kevin Durant is. He was one of the five best players in the league, one of the three best players in the league, at least before the injury. And if he's a little bit worse than that, that's still amazing. And maybe we get lucky, and he's all the way back.
I strongly agree, Rachel. And look, here's the thing. I feel like Kevin Durant is going to finish in the MVP conversation when it's all said and done this season. He's the best scorer, in my opinion, to ever touch the basketball. And when I watched him in the preseason game, he didn't skip a beat. Obviously, his shots wasn't falling, but I'm talking about his lateral movement, the way that he was getting up and down the floor, his explosiveness. And I said, you know what? KD came back with it on his mind, and he's ready to address the NBA like the numbers on the house.
Today, you know about coming back from Achilles.
Yeah.
Right, Jhené, you know.
Yep, exactly, Rach, because.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'll just keep going just because I'm in alignment with both of what Zach and Perk said. And you know, for me, I always have that number of how long it took for you to get back. And for KD, what is it, like over 500, like 550 days mm-hmm. since he injured himself in the NBA Finals to now playing against the Warriors opening night. But you know, Zach, you were so right. There are players like Breonna Stewart who comes back from the Achilles in his finals MVP. Talking about MVP's Perk, I came back and had an all-star season. Science has really helped change the narrative when it comes to athletes' recovery. Down. But that all being said, normally I'm glass half full, Jhené, right? But I do want to just, you know, weather the storm and just let people know that it will take him a while to truly feel back in his own body. He's on a new team with a new coach, and that will also be an adjustment. And if we're being honest, this probably, like, the reality is that he's the best offensive weapon we've seen over a decade when it comes to natural ability, height, talent, all his abilities on the court. He lives in the gym. He is doing everything right. The struggle will still be there, but the funny thing here is that even if KD struggles, let's be real, he's still better than most players in the NBA, right. So 90% will still yes. be a great season for him. And his shooting ability and his release point as a seven-footer changes the game. So Rach, I do think that this, like, the expectations are hard given the Brooklyn Nets overall. But overall, it will be different for him to be out there, and his difference will still be like, what, all-star?
Right, exactly. Well, I was going to ask you, though, because you're the one here who's had this injury in terms of coming back. You had your all-star season. But what did they tell you about the possibility of re-injury? And, Perk, I know you know something about this, too. Today, what did they tell you? Because that's two factors, right? It's about, hey, how do I look when I'm out there? But then it's how risky is it that something else happens to me?
I can't believe I always have to do it, but why does my brain always go to TikTok? It's like that song, Don't Rush. Like, don't rush. When it comes to, you know, returning from injury, this has been a blessing in disguise. My dad always says every disappointment can be a blessing if you allow it. And having more time, you know, not playing in the bubble, not having the Olympics has really helped KD so that he doesn't feel rushed to go out there, and that's when injury happens again.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And Rachel, another thing is the sacrificing you do off the court. And we all know, especially myself, Kevin Durant don't do clubs. He don't do the partying.
Yep.
He goes to the gym, back to his house, back to the gym, back to his house, and maybe back to the gym again, because he's a guy that just want to play video games, watch basketball, and play basketball. So I have zero concerns about Kevin Durant. And he's skinny. He has that lanky body. It's not like he was a heavyweight like myself.
I'm just excited to get KD back. Pre-injury, he was on pace to be one of the 10 greatest players of all time. We've never seen a scorer like him before. And if he's most of the way back and you have a second elite shot creator in Kyrie Irving and a whole lot of depth at a whole lot of different positions, the Nets are sneakily like 11, 12 quality NBA guys deep. I think this team is going to be a problem, and I hope it is, because that means that we've got Kevin Durant back all the way, and that's what we all want to see.
Amen to that. All right, guys, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about Greg Popovich. He has coached the Spurs since 96. How much longer will he be in that spot? It's become our annual question. We will discuss what's changed going into this year next on The Jump. Congratulations, Stanford coach Charles Van Devere, who set the women's NCAA career wins record last night, passing the late, great Pat Summitt. Only Coach K over at Duke has more in the history of college basketball. Today, I see you dancing over there. What would you like to say to your former coach?
Coach, you're the real MVP. I love you. I am so proud of you, Coach Tara. What an amazing milestone and achievement. All-time wins in the women's game, number one, Tara at the top. And it's really funny because I graduated and went to the pros, and even through my finals days and the three-hour practices that I used to go through, when those were over, I started working on TVs and I still kept getting texts. Let's watch some film, Chanae. No matter what job you're doing, there's always room to improve. And I was like, okay, coach, only one person can get you to agree to doing something like that, more homework without fighting. I would say it's gotta be like your parents,
right,
and your coach. And Coach Tara is one of the best, period. Go.
Woo.
I'm hyped. Y'all can't tell me nothing.
No, And
oh, that me? Oh my gosh, what?
I know you do this job right now, but you were pretty good on the basketball court. I'm just going to say, yes, shout out to her. Obviously, what she has done with the team, but also what she has meant to the sport, how she has moved the sport forward. And by the way, shout out also to Stanford's own, man, this dunk.
Ooh.
Chanae, please, could you narrate for us? Can you do the play-by-play, please?
Yes. She got the steal, crossover, fast break. Is she gonna do it? She's gonna get it done. Slight work, baby. We stand for Fran. That is fantastic. For those who don't know, that's Stanford
effortless.
Women's basketball, number one team in the nation. Go
it
ahead, Perk.
It was so effortless.
Watch them work. That's all we gotta say. All right, I want to move on to the San Antonio Spurs. Greg Popovich, and they faced the Rockets last night. They're looking to rebuild after missing the playoffs last season for the first time since the Ice Age. Zach, what do you think Pop's future is? We had so much speculation. He would go coach the Olympic team. Then the Olympics, of course, didn't happen. So him just going off into the, you know, sunset to only have that job doesn't seem like quite the thing it was maybe a year ago. What do you see there?
Well, I do think they have a lot of interesting young wings, which is the position you want to load up on in the NBA. Lonnie Walker and Keldon Johnson showed out in the bubble. But look, the speculation is quieted, right? I mean, Pop's going to have this job as long as he wants. Maybe he likes this rebuild. We've seen some of their most decorated assistants in the last 3, 4, or 5 years. People who are rumored to be maybe the heir apparent go take jobs somewhere else and not always head coaching jobs. Will Hardy, one of the most well-regarded young assistant coaches in the league, another rumored name for the heir apparent spot, got pretty deep in the Oklahoma City head coaching search this past fall. So it's really kind of unclear who the successor is, how long Pop wants the job, but the heir apparent conversation has been one of the most buzzed about in the league for the last 2 years. But you know what? He's one of the greatest coaches of all time. He's going to keep on trucking as long as he wants.
I agree. Look, we cannot have NBA basketball without the great Greg Popovich. I know he's up in his 70s, but he's still a spring chicken. He's still moving around. He still knows the game of basketball. He's still able to adjust when need be. And I think with Pop, he looks forward to this every single day, getting up and going out there and coach. He loves it more than anything. And hey, until Pop says he's done, which I don't think is for another 5 years, let Pop do his thing.
Yes, I see you, Producer Danny, Producer Steve, out here with a smooth transition from one legend in the coaching game to another. Coach Pop, he can do whatever he wants. Third all time in the NBA in history with wins as a coach, talking about the record books just keep going up. And especially, you know, considering that I was just talking about Coach Tara, this man can sail into the sunset anytime. He's already done everything he needs to do and he's still serving. And if you know him, that's a part of his core identity.
Absolutely.
So why not, you know, continue coaching and keep exploring how good this Spurs team can be? And it's really fun as you get older. You know, the cool thing is you can experiment, and this young Spurs team gives him that ability with his ability to go smaller now these days and also play faster. So it's a new age for the Spurs, but it's the same old coach.
Well, and that's a great point too, by the way, because some of this is, look, I think the Spurs want Greg Popovich around as long as he wants to stay around. There's no question of, oh, should we move him on? The question is, how much longer is this still interesting to him? How much does this give him an opportunity to be intellectually curious? How much does he want to do it with all the travel and the trekking around? And, Janae, your point is great, that this is a roster that maybe he can get his little coaching tentacles into, and we'll see what happens. Thank you, my friend, for joining us. We appreciate it. Janae's going to go get ready for her radio show. Coming up on this show, though, our League Pass game of the night, Nuggets Blazers. We're going to talk about Damian Lillard and Jamal Murray's prospects as all-star selections. But that Western Conference field is crowded, folks. It's crowded out there. All right, it's crunch time here on The Jump. LeBron and Anthony Davis expected to make their preseason debut tonight against the Suns. Zach, how much burn do you expect them to get?
I think like 43, 44 minutes apiece sounds good. I mean, it's a big game for the Lakers. They got to come out and really win this game. Let them warm up for 5 minutes in the first quarter. Take them out of the game. Let them go have a glass of wine in the back. These guys deserve some rest.
I think they're going to play 24 minutes. 12 minutes in the first half, 12 minutes in the second half.
Glass of wine in the back. LeBron could do it on the bench. No, never mind. I'm not going to bring that up again. All right, it's time for our League Pass game of the night. There are four games on the slate for tonight. We just mentioned Lakers-Suns, Knicks-Cavs, and Bulls-Thunder were also considered, but our staff going with Blazers-Nuggets, Damian Lillard versus Jamal Murray. These guys lit up the bubble, but we started talking in the newsroom what their chances are of making the All-Star team out West, given the amount of great guards in that conference. This has been a problem for voters for years. It's only getting more thorny. When you look at the list, Perk, do Jamal Murray, do Damian Lillard make the cut?
Absolutely. And I strongly believe that Damian Lillard will be an all-star starter. He has become a fan favorite worldwide. And when you think about Jamal Murray, the best thing that happened for Jamal Murray was the NBA bubble and the way that he was able to produce and kill in the bubble and put up those great numbers and compete. Now he knows that he could compete and he's just as good as the best of them.
Well, we had one annual All-Star, Russell Westbrook, go west to east, and a borderline All-Star, Jrue Holiday, go west to east. But then Steph Curry came back healthy. Klay Thompson's out. So, look, I think Dame has earned. He's just in. What that guy has done, he's just in. Yeah, maybe he has a little bit of a down year or something. You just put him in Penn, he's in the All-Star game. Jamal Murray in the playoffs is like a tier one Hall of Famer. Jamal Murray in the regular season is a really good guard who doesn't make the All-Star team. So until I see Jamal Murray close that gap a little bit and become closer to the player he is in the playoffs, I think in the West, like, Devin Booker hasn't made it yet. I think he might make it for the first time this year. So I'll go Dame in, Jamal just misses the cut.
All right, but if you put a guy like Devin Booker in too and you're already putting Dame in, you're leaving some pretty big names out, Zach. You saw that list. That's what's so hard. You're a voter. I'm a voter. I'd love to say, oh, yeah, he's an all-star. He's an all-star caliber player. But you can only vote for so many slots, right?
So I tell people every year there are 12 slots. Everyone gets upset about guys that get left off. It's a harder question to answer. Okay, who do you take out of the first 12 to put that guy in? It's just, particularly in the West, it's just a really competitive race.
Well, Zach and Rachel, I have another question. I know I'm on my rookie. I'm a rookie right now, but I will next year I will be, you know, past this rookie stage. When am I qualified to vote?
Oh, well, Kirk, we can talk about it. I'm going to get you a little meeting with Tim Frank at the NBA office. We'll discuss. All right, before we go, I just want to let you know Charlotte Hornets announced Gordon Hayward sustained a fracture on a finger in his right hand. No word on how long he will be out, although right now he's being listed as day-to-day. Of course, this is extra relevant because the Hornets just gave Gordon a $120 million contract over the next 4 years. And, of course, he does have an injury history recently, so we'll keep an eye on that. Thank you to you guys for joining me. We'll be back on your television tomorrow, same time, same place. See you then.